Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Ryan's here. Lots to get to today. Hope all of you are safe with the tropical storm that's barreling through. Stay dry. Stay safe, especially for all of those on the east side of town. The east side of town is going to get hit pretty good. So, met a few people from the Mont Bellevue area the other day.
Yeah.
Hope y'all are doing all right.
Yeah.
Hope y'all are doing good. It's nothing y'all haven't had before, but, you know, we're thinking about you. Yeah. How's it going?
Good.
I thought I was going to get a little bit of back and forth there with the weather, but you're like, weather is weather.
I don't know what else to add.
Yeah, weather what would we add to be safe in the storm? Also
down.
Be safe in the
That's
storm.
A great point.
Hunker down. I hope you bought water.
Board up the windows. I don't know.
You worried about water?
No.
Yeah, they said it's going to be mostly a rain event. I mean, well, east side of town might be a little bit different.
It's one of those, like, I always go to the store and just buy it just because sometimes people act irrationally.
That's fair.
So you're going to add to it by buying also?
Buying one case of
he
water?
He said he did it beforehand.
Oh, okay.
Yesterday?
That's not irrational.
Yeah, I went home, I bought a case of water, and I bought deli meat yesterday.
Deli meat. Yeah. There's a lot of preservatives in that.
Whatever. We'll be all right.
But probably healthier than the Dino Nuggets.
Hey, so, easy on my Dino Nuggets.
It's funny, though, that you bought something that goes in the fridge.
We have a cooler.
That's a great point.
We have a cooler.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Just wondering. Brian, they canceled your school district today, huh? It's not raining until school's dismissal.
No. Yeah, my kid was out of school today. I didn't see a single drop in Kingwood the entire day.
Did they cancel tomorrow yet?
I haven't seen a notification yet.
I just got a text that our school district got canceled for tomorrow.
Would be the day. Because, like, if the rain accumulates and there is some flooding, it'd be tomorrow. That's the problem,
it'd be
not
tomorrow.
Today.
Yeah. That's why Conroe ISD, they're up here. Bumble ISD. I mean, I am a graduate of Bumble ISD.
Yeah. Careful.
Ours was...
probably let your drunk baseball coach make the decision.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty telling.
Ours was early school release. At 11:45 today.
What time do they normally get out?
3:30.
Oh, wow.
Super inconvenient. So we just didn't send them to school.
Okay.
Because that's like a 2-hour turnaround.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Like, I can't, first of all, I had to be here. My wife's got to go to work. So it's like, nope. He's just going to work with the wife, taking the day off of school.
Yeah. He's going to eat good.
Yeah, he is.
He's going to eat good.
He's going to eat good.
I wish your wife would take me to work. How about the meatballs? Yeah, different place. Yeah, but stay safe out there with the weather. They say most of it's going to be east of I-45. If it doesn't rain at my house during a tropical storm, then we got some issues. I'm suing the weather.
You're right on I-45, right?
A little bit east, yeah.
A little bit east.
A bit east, but pretty close to right on 45. What is the name of the tropical storm? Because I don't watch the news. I don't listen to the news.
Eduardo?
Is it Edward? Or it's spelled a little different.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I the first time I saw it, I was like, Joe's like, I think that's supposed to be Eduardo, but it's spelled a little different. Or Edward? I'm not sure, but it's something like that. But have they officially named it yet?
No, it's named. It's Edouard. Is that Edward?
Edward?
Edouard? How do you pronounce this storm?
Doesn't matter.
Are we
not going to work here anyway?
I'm going to go Edward.
See, I don't watch the news. I don't listen to the news.
But let's go Edward.
So I have no idea.
Eddie. Hurricane Eddie. Tropical Storm Eddie.
Tropical Storm Eddie? No. I don't need to listen to us. I'm going to pull up channel.
Like talking back to us.
KPRC. Let's see what they say. We are going to take a live look. They're in Sabine Pass.
Right now. Do we have copyright?
Courtesy of KPRC Channel 2.
All right.
I think I know her. They're not saying the name of the storm.
No, they're not. They're just not, they're
probably because they put it on the graphic.
They might not know how to say it.
It's E-D-O-U-A-R-D.
Edward.
Is it Edward?
Edward.
Edward? I'm going to go with Joe on this one. Edward.
Edward.
Why won't they say the name of the storm? This is 40 seconds into this video. They haven't named the storm.
Still hasn't said it yet.
They don't know the name. They don't say it.
I think you're right.
It is Edward.
Okay,
do you hear him? He said Edward.
Yeah, Edward.
This is that Yanez guy, I think. Edward. They didn't say Edward. They said Edward.
Edward.
I'm not familiar with an Edward. Do you know any Edwards?
I do not.
Do you know any Edwards?
I don't know the man.
P people named
Edward. Are there like fame? Why are we getting so fancy with these names? Why wouldn't you just name him Edward?
Well, it's probably because it's been retired. Like whenever there's a name Storm, they retire the name.
How familiar are you with the storms?
Not at all. Other than the ones that hit here.
You just hit us with a Casario scoff. Do you hear that?
I did.
Did I?
One of the best books I ever read was that, I think it's called Isaac Storm. It's about that big hurricane that hit Galveston.
Oh.
And, like, the damage, tons of damage.
1900?
One of the most, I think it was like 1901, something like that.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on the date. Great book. How they used to track weather back in the day? Very difficult.
I would imagine.
They would, like, look at the waves. I think they would, like, stick their finger in the wave and then put it up in the air and see how the wind was hitting it. And they're like, oh, yeah, there's going to be rain.
That is.
They did track the tides.
I know, but, like, they that did is track like a wild way to think of how they used to track storms.
Think about it, though. Like, what technology did they have in early 1900s?
Probably not much.
Yeah, it was nuts. Like, they were saying that the houses were, like, I mean, this is very sad. But the houses were, like, coming off their foundation.
Yeah.
That, like, pieces of plywood that were on the walls were, like, they floated, like, you know, 50 blocks from, downtown Galveston.
It's awful.
I know.
I couldn't imagine.
Me either.
Storms suck.
Yeah, so y'all be safe out there. I don't think it's going to be bad as the
Isaac
Storm in the early 1900s.
People can't drive in them. They're scared to drive in them. Yeah. Got their blinkers on when it's not raining. I saw that today.
Do you
someone had their blinkers on. There was
it wasn't
no
even raining?
I know, dude. So maybe it was for another reason.
Maybe they're just old?
Maybe. But I was just like, what is happening right now? There's no rain. I got interns canceling because of the weather.
For today or tomorrow?
For today. I told them they could cancel.
The one on this show?
No, he's here. He'll be here soon.
Whew.
I told them they could cancel.
He's late?
Yeah, he said there's bad traffic.
It's not even raining yet.
I trust them.
Traffic was light today.
I trust them more than the people that canceled.
I told them, I was like, you can cancel if there's a storm. It didn't rain.
Yeah, I mean, they're not getting paid to be here.
No, I know, but, like, it didn't rain. So, whatever.
Yeah. No, traffic was kind of light today because most people were out of
work. Yeah, I didn't have a problem getting in.
You know, schools are out, so they had to stay home and stuff like that. But
Edward.
All right. Astros played a baseball game on the eve of Edward. And they won. They won
the
baseball game. They chased the fight. They won the fight against the White Sox. They pull within 2.5 games back of the 2 seed against the Chicago White Sox. Where do you want to start with this? Do you want to start with the pitching? Do you want to start with the hitting? Do you want to start with the fielding? I don't think we've ever started with the fielding, but we can. We're open to things.
I think I want to start about the hitting.
Okay, where do you want to begin?
Nelly
Vasquez.
Oh, my God.
Man, when
Nelly
he gets a
Vasquez.
Hold of him, he sends what did it I tell a TK long on Friday? Ways.
I don't remember.
Thanks for listening. I told TK on Friday.
Oh, I think I have the clip.
From the waist down, that guy's big. Oh, yeah, that is about Nelly Vasquez. I did say that about Nelly Vasquez. That's accurate. Brian didn't do me dirty on that one.
No,
that was actually
that was
factual.
A good pull.
Yeah, Brian's right. I did say that about him. Not to TK, though. What I said to TK is like, TK, I think Nelly Vasquez is going to help this team. Do you remember that?
Vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, I said, I was like, TK, I think Nelly Vasquez is still going to help this team.
The sound off the bat.
And then what did he do? What did he do yesterday? He helped the team.
He
went Jorge Soler.
Oh, my God.
He went Albert Pujols. That ball was hammered.
He smoked that thing.
Yeah, he's got big-time power.
Yeah.
He's got big pop.
I mean, it's who knows how – I wish there wasn't a dome last night.
Retractable roof.
Whatever. I wish there wasn't a wall there just to see how far it would fly.
Yeah.
Because he crushed
What was the I didn't look at the Savant on it. I think it was like 415, I want to say, they said on the broadcast.
BS flag on that.
Yeah, totally agree. BS flag.
Well, they track it off the track.
I know.
I just still don't agree.
What do you – okay, let me pull it up. What do you think – how far do you think it was?
I'll go 425.
430.
It was 415.
Oh.
It was 415.
Brian was right.
You will be happy to know that it's a home run in 30 of 30 ballparks.
That makes sense.
This doesn't make sense, though. The expected batting average in a ball that went 415 feet and was a homer in 30 of 30 ballparks had an expected batting average of 990.
How?
My only guess would be, like, if he hit the ball to dead center and somewhere that it wouldn't have been. I don't know. How is that expected batting average of 990?
I don't know.
My guess, just fun with math, is that the expected batting average does not take into account the direction that the ball was hit.
Okay, so the deepest center field in the league maybe doesn't get out?
So, like, there's certain parks that will contain a 415-foot blast.
Yeah.
Now, you might need Willie Mays playing center field for this, but that would be my guess. Because if you factored in pool, which he pulled the ball. I mean, it's a home run everywhere, as home run per park says 30 of 30. So my guess here, and I think I'm right about this, is that it doesn't factor in direction of the baseball.
Yeah, I guess. But
I think it only factors in exit velo and hit distance, not direction, not flight of the ball.
Yeah, I just that should still be.
It's pretty stupid.
It's stupid.
I mean, it's a flaw in expected batting average.
Yeah, that is. It should just be where it's hit.
But, like, where is the 0.01%?
Was it low?
I think it's because it doesn't talk about trajectory.
Was it low enough?
No, because it's a home run 30 and 30.
Yeah, because you were thinking Green Monster.
Yeah,
but was it, low enough? It's 30 and 30.
It says it's a homer in 30 of 30.
Okay. So that must factor in launch angle then.
That, yeah.
Okay.
And the flight of the ball.
Yeah, because that's the only place I would think that would not be a home run.
We're talking storms and we're talking geometry, yeah. Baby. Where else do you get this?
Start. And guess what? I'm doing okay so far. I'm doing all right.
Well,
I haven't made any.
I mean, we said it was a homer in 30 and 30. You're like, yeah, what, to go but, over the monster?
Yeah, but fair.
That wasn't the hardest hit ball of the game yesterday. Just looking at this. The Colston Montgomery home run off of Souza, which that guy sucks. Ugh. That was 115 exit velo. Nelly's was a 109. And then Yordan Alvarez in a ground out hit one 109.5, was out.
That's absurd.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
No, but he hit that ball far. He's when he gets a hold of it. I did think of Jimmy Kavanaugh whenever he hit that baseball because there was an absolute no doubt.
Man, when he gets a hold of him, he sends it a long way.
Think about her a lot.
Yeah.
We see home runs.
So actually, she was on. I've been watching a little bit of the Sports Jeopardy, like late at night when I have nothing else to watch.
Okay.
And to show off. You know, it's kind of my way of showing off to my wife. I'm like, look at all that.
But she's real impressed.
You know, some people like lift weights. Some people like play the guitar. Mm-hmm. Some people read a book. I just watch Sports Jeopardy and answer questions. Yeah. But Jenny Kavanaugh was one of the categories. Or not the category, one of the questions.
Oh, okay.
She's like, when Jenny Kavanaugh calls a home run at Souter Park, which city is she calling it from?
Oh.
And no one got it right.
No one got Sacramento?
No, it's kind of a trick question.
That is a trick question.
Yeah, it's kind of a trick question. Somebody said Oakland, and he was wrong.
I mean, that's a fair guess, though.
But it was crazy that Jenny Kavanaugh just popped up in a question. I was like, I can't get this broad out of my head.
No. Did you just say it? Did you say her home run call when you heard her name?
I don't think I did.
Okay.
No, I don't think I did.
I just imagine.
You look at the
couch.
Contestants like, there's a lot of good boys out here.
No, I did not. I did not think about that one. No.
I forgot about that.
I did too.
I still need to pull that one.
Yeah, I forgot about that one, Brian. Yeah. Yeah. I totally forgot.
A lot of good boys out here.
Yeah, but he hit the ball far.
Yeah, he did.
It went a long way. He was 0 for 12 before that, by the way. 0 for 12 before that with the Astros, before that long home run. Also can't play defense to save his life.
No.
That ball that he dropped in the first inning, I was pretty ticked off about that, but Peter Lambert saved him.
Yeah, in a perfect world, I think he's your DH. If he's going to be on the roster.
Versus left-handed pitching.
Versus left-handed pitching. Like, when he's going to be out there, it would be better to have him as your DH. Obviously, that's tough with Yordan Alvarez because you don't really want him in left field either.
That's like four DHs the Astros have.
Yeah, that's the problem. They got a lot of DHs.
They got four DHs.
Yiner, Yordan, Altuve, mm-hmm. Nelly.
Nelly Velasquez. Yeah. They got four DHs on this baseball team.
They do.
They got four. They got four DHs and like two and a half pitchers.
Maybe they should sue.
Sue.
Yeah, just like in college football.
Oh,
sue for the rights to have more DHs. Just see what happens.
Why not?
You never know.
Why?
It works
why
in college
only,
football. Why can't it work? Only get why can't one? Work in baseball?
Yeah. Cam Smith had that big base, the big double, which it was kind of funny having Bagwell on the call because I don't think Bagwell really likes Cam Smith.
I don't think he does either.
And then Cam Smith comes through with bases loaded and two outs, drives in some runs. So that was neat.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's the thing that you know. The vantage point from the booth will get Bagwell to play Cam Smith more often.
Well, also, like, the Velasquez thing was kind of funny to me, too, because I don't know how Bagwell feels about Velasquez. You really can't get a tell based on their roster moves. But whenever he hit the home run and Cal's like, that's his first hit as an Astro, Bagwell's like, good for him.
He has no
idea. Pat on the head.
He goes, good for him. It was pretty funny.
He has no clue what's going on.
Does it drive either of you crazy how low Jeff yes. Bagwell speaks?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it drove me crazy all last night.
I like having Bagwell on the broadcast occasionally. I like the insight he provides. I like the fact that he's very involved in the front office, and then you're getting him for nine innings of a baseball game. So it gives you a little bit of like intellectual information on how the Astros are handling things for better or worse. Like when he's like, well, you never know how things are going to go. Well, don't love hearing that from the big-time decision maker for the Astros, because oftentimes you can plan for things. Like, oh, injuries do happen, Jeff. It's like, oh, you can never plan for injuries. Yeah, you can. It's called depth. You can plan for injuries.
Yeah.
So, like, that part kind of like, oh, boy. Like, this guy is making a lot of big decisions for the Houston Astros, and he's like, well, sometimes you just got to see how it goes. Okay, that's not really what I want from a decision maker.
No, it's not. I do feel like – do you feel like he's would be a good poker player? Like, wouldn't tip his hand?
No, I wouldn't. Okay. Think he'd be good at that.
Yeah, because I kind of feel like we get the – honest truth when he talks.
Yeah.
Which is like unfortunate to what you're saying. Like,
he'd be like loosey-goosey.
Yeah. You know? Like he would smile when he has a good hand.
Yeah.
So when he's like, yeah, just how it goes. Well, you know, no, as you said, you can prepare for that.
Bet recklessly.
Yeah.
You know,
call up Nelson Velasquez or bring him back as soon as Dana Brown's gone. You know, bring back Brent Strom.
Well, I think Velasquez was brought back before Dana was gone. When did he get brought back? I think
it was
before
the day.
Dana.
It was the same day.
It was same
so
day?
Yeah, so the timeline's hard. I think Chandler's insinuated that move was made before Dana Brown got fired.
Yeah.
But it did happen. It was announced after.
And it was also dictated because of the Pena injury. Like, they would have never done that if Pena didn't have to miss a few games and they needed some infield coverage. So, and it's probably the assistant GMs. Like, if they're bringing in the final player on the you know, offensive side of things, there's no way that Bagwell's making the decision on player 13 on the Houston Astros. Like, he maybe top three, but not the 13th player on the team.
No.
Otherwise, Biggio would be here.
Yeah, he's probably... I'm kind of waiting for that to happen.
No, he hadn't had a good month.
Oh, he hasn't?
Yeah, in the month of August, he hit under 200.
Oh,
so but he walks and slugs, so it's like, it's not an empty, like 198.
It was kind of like Lamont Wade.
Ish.
Probably just doesn't walk as much.
Yeah, probably hits for a little bit more. And it's AAA versus Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, all right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to the pitching side of things. Lambert, Souza sucked, Abreu. They also announced today's starter. They're going Blanco.
Yes.
Rennell Blanco. Why Rennell Blanco? Is there any logical reason for this? What are the other options you'd like? We'll get to that. We'll get to some Houston. Nick Caserio. We love it when he talks. Nick Caserio talked to the media today. So, of course, we'll have some Caserio. I love C.J. Stroud. At least relative to this show, I love C.J. Stroud. Relative to you guys, I'm the biggest C.J. Stroud stan on this show. You guys hate him. I found somebody else who hates C.J. Stroud more than y'all. We'll get to that later. Cash him or trash him. It is also the first Tuesday of the month.
Here we go.
It kind of caught me off guard. Not going
to
lie. So Jose Jorge will make his triumphant return a little bit later. We'll play Will Jeremy Know for U of H tickets. And Jennifer Streeter. Who's covering all this hockey stuff going on in Houston. The latest with the NHL maybe coming to Houston. We'll pick Jennifer's brain a little bit later. We'll do that at 5 o'clock. 713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Twitch.tv/ESPN975.
A fat guy in his underwear living in his mother's basement.
I hope they get out of the basement.
Yeah, you don't want to be in the basement during
the storm. Yeah, maybe go upstairs. Maybe beg your parents to allow you to go upstairs out of the basement. YouTube, ESPN Houston, TikTok, ESPN 975, Twitter, ESPN 975, Joe's at Joe George Radio, Brian's at Sacked by BMAC, I'm at Jeremy Branham, it's Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 975.
Preseason football is over, and that means it's time to get your fantasy football teams together. And the best place to do it is at Twin Peaks to have your draft party at your local lodge. Commissioners, you get a $50 Twin Peaks gift card when you host your fantasy football drafts at Twin Peaks. Cold drinks, made from scratch food, wall-to-wall TVs, everything you need for draft day is right there. So round up your league, grab a table, and get ready for the picks, the rivalries, and a full season of bragging rights. Whether you're defending your title or drafting for the first time, start your fantasy season at Twin Peaks. Commissioners, you get a $50 gift card to Twin Peaks when you sign up at your local lodge today. Book your fantasy football draft party at Twin Peaks right now. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Oh, junkie saying, hearing you all spout
junkie?
Off.
Junkie?
Edward. Was it Edward? Edward? I already forgot to say it.
Edward?
Sounds like the seagulls of Finding Nemo saying, Mike. I don't really have any recollection of that. I've seen Finding Nemo, but I don't remember that part.
Really?
I don't remember that. You remember that?
Yeah.
Did you get any toilet paper, Joe? Ask a junkie.
I already had that.
It's very Thoughtful. Another junkie. We're talking about batting average.
Junkie?
If it hits the green monster, it's still a hit. That's a good point.
Yeah, that's my fault.
That's a great
that's a
point.
Really, really good point.
I don't think anybody's ever been thrown that's out a great base point. Off the monster. Maybe it's second, but of course it's still a hit. Quick look says Fenway is the furthest outfield wall at 420 feet to deep right center. That's where kind of the triangle next to the bullpen. I know San Francisco has a very deep part of the park and right center as well.
Yeah, that triple alley.
I thought it was close to 420 as well. Maybe it's not quite 420. And then Colorado has big dimensions. They make it big because like the ball travels there. So Jeff Bagwell texting into the show, how dare you call me a mumbling drunk? We didn't call you a drunk.
Yeah, we didn't say that. We said you.
You said you're quiet.
Yeah. Speak up, Jeff.
Definitely mumble. But no, you quit. You quit drinking. So that's good. Would Hurricane B-Mac be a dud or a Cat 5?
I'm not answering that.
Go ahead, Joe.
I don't like either answer.
Is there an in-between?
Yeah, of course.
Cat 3?
Cat 1?
Well, they didn't present us
Tropical Depression?
The question presented us either dud or Cat 5.
I understand that, but you said is there anything in between?
Has he been drinking?
Sounds like it.
Yeah, when Jeff Bagwell stopped, I started.
Cat 5.
Yeah.
B-Mac's coming through.
Oh, yeah. If it's Hammer and B-Mac, yeah, that's definitely Cat 5. Peter Lambert yesterday. Two runs, three hits, 4 2/3. Walked a season high 5, punched out 6. Espada gave him every chance to get out of the fifth inning so he could qualify for the win. Could not do it. Was ousted before he could do just that. What did you make of Lambert's performance an evening ago?
It's not great. It's not the worst starts we've seen this season, but that feels like such a low bar because of Tatsu Imai. It just feels like it's trending in the wrong direction at this point for Peter Lambert. Like, even looking at, like, ground ball rate, like, he had only got 2 ground ball outs last night. It just feels like it's trending poorly right now. He's still your number 2 starter in a playoff series.
Yeah.
That's kind of by default, though.
I don't know if it's, like, the steady decline. It just seems like he's off a beat, you know, whether it's the command. I wouldn't call it this, like, slow build of crap, you know? Like, it just he's off a bit. Is it the workload? Is it, like, reality setting in on who Peter Lambert is? Just not quite as sharp?
Yeah.
To me, there's still promise there.
No, I agree. I guess just not – it's been nowhere near as clean as it was when he was rolling earlier in the season. It's just too many walks in last night's game specifically.
For sure.
It's okay. It was enough to help you win the game.
Oh, yeah.
The bullpen's a little gassed, it feels like. But at this point, it's almost an acceptable start right now.
It feels that way based on what you've gotten.
Yeah. It's like compared to what you might get from a Javier or an Imai or even a Pecco, this is, you kind of have to take what you can get. It would have been nicer to get one more out in the game and get through the full 5, but I guess you would like it to be better, but it's not great either.
I just don't feel that I don't feel like it's just like all of a sudden he's going to suck. I still think that he's more than capable of quality starts.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, his last start was a near quality start. Now he gave up a lot of hits in that game, so that's kind of what I look at. Like, his last 3 starts, he gave up 9 earned runs, obviously very bad versus the Angels. His start versus the Yankees, 3 walks, 7 hits. Last night, most walks in a season. That's why it definitely is trending. It feels like in a wrong direction. But you're right. It's not he hasn't fallen off a cliff.
No.
Or anything like that. It's just, is it the workload? Is it just off a little bit? I mean, that's what Strom is here for now, is to fix these guys. So maybe he can do some Brent Strom magic and get him going again.
I saw a funny... Swabby sometimes has these tweets that are just so out of touch.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. Like, yes, and we're gonna get to this Blanco Burrow stuff here in a little bit. But he tweeted out yesterday after they announced that Blanco starting over Burrows, and he said that Stromy must have signed off on
it. I saw that.
What?
I don't get it.
The consultant that they brought in 3 days ago isn't making that decision. As much as we love Stromy and we think that everything he touches goes from Tatsuya Imai to Garrett Cole, he's not making that call.
No,
it's so ridiculous. It made me giggle.
He is a consultant. Like, that decision, if anything, it's from the guy who was in the booth last night.
Yeah.
Like, that's the guy making the decision.
Espada was even on record over the weekend being like, yeah, more than likely we see Burrows on Tuesday.
And then it's not Burrows.
Yeah. But yeah, he said Stromme must have signed off on it. The consultant they brought in last week.
The best version of Mike Burrows has been with Brent Strom.
Yeah.
So wouldn't he want that guy?
You would think.
If it was Stromme's decision?
You would think. Lambert looks like if he's trying to be too precise and overlocating, if that makes sense. Yeah, I could see it. Maybe he's trying to, you know, will it in there. If the Astros win today and the Rangers lose, the Astros will officially be running away with the division. No, they won't. It'll be a 3-game lead. Although I do like that this little losing streak Seattle's on. That's awesome.
I mean, it's, at least it's only one team right now. It feels like that's a problem for
and
you.
You have the tiebreaker with the Rangers.
Yeah.
So it's like a half a game when you have the tiebreak.
Yeah, and thankfully Boston did us a favor last night. The Seattle, I believe, was what, up 8-5 late in the game?
Boston.
Blew it.
Boston came back.
Yeah.
Trevor Story, my favorite player of ever, walked it off.
Is he really?
No, I can't stand Trevor Story.
I know.
It's not so much that I dislike Trevor Story. It's more that I hate players that leave cores and go play other places. Like, everybody wanted Trevor Story to replace Correa. Mm-hmm. It's like, please no. Please don't let that happen. He's going to get a lot of money. He's going to have the. He's no longer going to have the Magnus effect. Now he's also had the injuries, which has made his contract look worse.
Yeah,
he's actually been okay when he's been healthy, but he's had a lot of the injuries. The bullpen. What'd you think of the bullpen yesterday? Some good, some bad there.
Yeah, Taylor Santos good. Oker good. Abreu good.
I mean, De Los Santos couldn't finish up that sixth inning. Walked three dudes. I've relied on Souza to get him out of trouble.
I don't like Souza.
Souza's
bad.
Yeah, he's all of a sudden really bad, and he's all of a sudden can't get lefties. Which Jeff Bagwell, again, general manager of the Houston Astros. I take that back. He's not the general manager of the Astros. He oversees the general manager. He's like, I can't figure out why he can't get lefties out. Sometimes you just can't explain it. Well, I'm glad that you oversee baseball operations. That's the kind of guy I want to oversee baseball
operations. I know analytics has those things out there.
I don't know why lefties are crushing them. Sometimes it's unexplainable. It just happens. It's baseball.
He doesn't like analytics. He has no idea.
This guy's overseeing baseball operations. This is baseball. This is baseball.
That's the world we live in now. Hopefully for like another month and a half.
I do like Bagwell on the broadcast. He does offer some really good insight, but he also says a few things during the broadcast where I'm like, well, this is the guy running baseball operations in Houston.
It's not good. It's just insight, though.
You can't explain it.
Yeah. You get good insight.
Is it insight when he says can't explain it?
He offers insight.
Yeah, well, you get insight of how he operates.
But there's just
when he says, like, yeah. I can't explain it. It's like,
it's a little worrisome.
It's kind of your job, too.
Like, don't want that. Like,
a bit worrisome.
This is your moment to actually explain why he's still going out there versus lefties.
There was a moment, too, whenever they were – because Bagwell was talking about Cam in his first at-bat, and he's like, yeah, he's overswinging, it's mental, you know, blah, 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 blah. And TK brought up the point about, like, well, you know, you send him down to the minors, you'd lose, like, a really good defensive right fielder. And Bagwell was like, well, yeah, you can't do that. And TK's like, yeah, I'm not suggesting you should.
Sorry, boss.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, like you can almost see as TK was talking, like, don't do me like you did Dana.
What a weird dynamic that has to be for TK.
I mean, he says he enjoys working.
No, I know, but like,
would he say anything else?
No, but like in this moment, like that's got to be a really strange dynamic of like the GM just got fired.
Probably
the
because
guy
of
who's
Jeff.
Now overseeing the GM is now sitting next to you for 3 days. Like that's a very strange.
Yeah.
TK is probably the only guy that's ever had to deal with something like this.
More than likely.
Like, I don't even know. I've never heard anything like this Bagwell thing where it's like, because normally I think you would cancel the TV thing.
He's like the president of baseball operations, yeah. Or at least overseeing it, and he's on the broadcast.
Like, might as well just put Jim Crane in there for 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, just see what he has to
say. It's kind of similar.
Yeah.
Except, I mean, that's one peg down, right?
Yeah.
Rung down. Oker was solid, and then Brian Abreu. He had his chance in the ninth, which you always worry a little bit with Brian Abreu, especially with his chance in the ninth. But got the job done. Astros win. Yay. 2.5 gack of the White Sox. A guy saying that Sean Casey got thrown out running to first base on a base hit to left field. Well, I guess it wasn't a base hit to left field if he got thrown out. I do vaguely remember that play, but it wasn't off the
In Boston?
I don't think it was in Boston.
Yeah, I think I remember a video of that. I thought it was to right field.
And Sean Casey like walks back to the dugout like befuddled. No, I remember it being to left field.
It was? Okay.
But it was – I can't remember the ballpark. I want to say Pittsburgh for some reason, maybe because he played there. Maybe it was Cincinnati. I don't know. But I do remember the play, and I remember him walking back to the dugout, like, looking cluelessly. I think he thought it was a very easy base hit. I think he was coasting to first base, and the left fielder kind of snuck it in on him.
It was in Detroit.
Oh, okay. Was he a Tiger?
He did play for the Tigers.
Yes.
And was it to left field?
Yes.
Yeah. But it wasn't a base hit because he got thrown out.
No. It was not.
And it went off the monster.
Because he stops.
Why'd he stop?
It goes off the third baseman's glove. He jumps up and tries to catch it.
Oh, so he thought he got caught?
Yeah. So he turns around. He takes his helmet off.
That's what I remember.
And then he starts running, like, slowly trotting to first base.
So it wasn't like he was so slow he couldn't make it there. He thought he was out.
Now, he is very slow.
He is very slow also. Yes.
I think this is Juan Pierre in left field.
Juan Pierre is not known for an arm.
No,
is he left-handed or right-handed?
Right-handed.
It's not Juan Pierre.
Was he threw lefty?
Pretty sure Juan Pierre threw left-handed.
Definitely bad left-handed.
Also almost always played center field. Yeah, Juan Pierre was lefty-lefty.
Okay. So it's not
Loved Juan Pierre. Those Marlins teams with Juan Pierre and Luis Castillo.
They were fun.
They were awesome.
And they blew it up.
Yeah, that's what they do. DJ LeMahieu, only player I've seen be better away from Coors. There's a handful. DJ was really good at it.
But he's a contact guy, so that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, Vinny Castillo still had some good years away from Coors. Loved him in Houston, his Lego man hair. There's been a few that have been good away from Coors. Like, Larry Walker's going to hit anywhere.
Yeah, he hit in St. Louis.
Yeah.
Arenado's been okay, but not not Coors Arenado.
Yeah. The three of you guys could get a knock seeing Souza's, I'm just going to say, fastball. Watch out, Branham. You'll strike a nerve with John and Lance. For what?
What did you do?
What did I do that's going to strike a nerve for John and Lance? I never try to strike a nerve with John and Lance. Other people, yes. John and Lance, never. I never try to strike a nerve with them. What did I do? What did I do? Context 5315. I'm paranoid. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Let's have the Blanco discussion. Ronel Blanco is getting the start today.
Yes,
they're living under a rock. They're going with Ronel Blanco. Ronel Blanco is Spanish for Mike Burrows. We thought it was going to be Burrows. Why not Mike Burrows? And should Tatsuya Imai be in this discussion? Is there a logical reason at all for Ronel? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN
97.5. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, so Ronel Blanco is making the start today. We all thought it was going to be Mike Burrow. But no, it's going to be Ronel Blanco. Do you see a logical reason with this at all?
No. His last appearance, okay, I get it. It was in Las Vegas. So I've seen people making that argument.
I have too.
It's in Vegas. Maybe it's only one person. We've both seen it.
Maybe.
He pitched 2 1/3, gave up 8 hits, 10 earned runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts, 3 home runs. His fastball velocity was down about 1.5 miles in his last appearance for Sugarland. There is zero logical reason for him to be starting tonight. Mike Burrows, his last rehab start or his last minor league start wasn't as good, but his previous two were a combined 9 innings, no earned runs. You traded for this guy. I know the guy who traded for him is no longer here. But Blanco wasn't good in the bigs. He wasn't good in his last start in the minors. Why is he getting this opportunity tonight?
So I have one logical reason for you.
That Jeff Bagwell likes him more?
Well, that'd be... I don't think that's logical. That'd be a reason,
yeah, okay,
but not a logical reason. Burrows is hurt?
That's what I'm wondering. That was the only thing... And they just haven't told us yet?
We haven't seen any report from them or any reporter that there's any injury.
Yeah.
But that's the only logical reason. The only logical reason. Because if Burrows is not hurt, then he should be starting tonight at the Dyke.
Yes.
Like that. So that's the only thing that I could, you know, you ask for a logical reason, that's the only logical reason I can come up with.
Yeah.
Because there is no reason in a playoff race, whenever you're up by 2 games in the division and every game matters, that Ronel Blanco should be making a start over Mike Burrows.
Look, I'll tell you, I would rather see Burrows tonight.
Everybody would.
Like, and part of it is, even if he doesn't have a great start, we've seen him since the moment he got to the Astros, the pitch count never gets out of control, and he can at least give you some length. Both are bad options, frankly, at this point in the season. But I would rather Burrows over Blanco.
Right.
And like Junior Blanco says in the chat, Blanco Jim incoming. Probably.
Hopefully.
Like probably all of us are like no one likes this decision that I've seen.
He says Burrows, bad word, sucks. Yeah, you're right. He does, but he sucks less.
Yes, it's a who Blanco sucks less conversation.
Yeah.
And your pecking order of suckiness.
Right. Which is the back end of the Astros rotation these days.
The top guy. I'm going Blanco 1, Emi 2, Burrows 3.
So Mike Burrows on the year, 18 games, 17 starts, 94.2 innings, has a 5.99 ERA. Ronel Blanco, 5 games, 4 starts, 23 and a third innings, has a 7.71 ERA. They're both really bad.
Yes.
Ronel Blanco has a minus 0.4 war. Mike Burrows has a 0.9, a negative 0.9 war, which that's an accumulation number. If you were to prorate Ronel Blanco for times 3, he would have a minus 1.2 war. Mm-hmm. So it'd be actually worse than Burrows. Now, Ronel Blanco is a slightly better whip than Mike Burrows. 1.457, Burrows at a 1.553, although the peripheral numbers like Mike Burrows. And then Mike Burrows was also dealing with like that nerve issue. Mm-hmm. If you're asking me for a logical reason, I wonder if he is hurt. Now, you alluded to Ronel Blanco's last start in Vegas, in which he went 2 1/3, mm-hmm. gave up 8 hits, 10 runs, walked 2, 3 home runs. His fastball average, and you mentioned his velo being down, this is where like the, he pitched in Vegas. You have to, you know, take it with a grain of salt. Okay, well, if he pitched in Vegas, does that mean your velo's down a mile and a half?
No.
Bingo.
It does
so, like,
not.
That's where the, well, he pitched in Vegas, lose all credibility. You're right, the ball travels more in Vegas, and that the numbers that a pitcher is going to give up in Vegas are going to look worse than any neutral city that exists in America. But the velo shouldn't be down a mile and a half.
Nope.
And I don't believe people that are citing Vegas realize that.
Yeah, I don't either. I think the only reason if it's not injury is illogical, which is that Jeff Bagwell, or whoever's really calling the shots, they, for whatever reason, they prefer Blanco. They trust Blanco more than Burrows. They just disagree with us if Burrows is not hurt.
I don't see the logic.
I don't either.
In that. Now, where would you have Emi in this conversation? So we would both be Burrows over Blanco. They're going Blanco for whatever reason that they haven't told us yet. Where would Emi come in this conversation?
I put Emi ahead of Blanco, for sure. I'll be honest, I'm still tempted to put him in front of Burrows.
Yeah, I couldn't do
because
that.
Because of the upside. Like there's just, we've seen the really good starts. Now, he's pitching so infrequently. Burrows is at the top of the three options here by default. Because he's pitched, 3 times in the last 30 days, Tatsu Emi? So, I guess I just have to go with the guy who's out there more frequently, who is, I mean, is Emi even stretched out now to be a starter? Like, how many pitches could he even throw right now with what they've done to him? Maybe 50.
Yeah.
So it's like, what does that really do for you? Now, you don't want to go through 2 or 3 times through the order.
Yeah.
So maybe that works in your favor. But I think I would go Burrows, then Emi, then Blanco.
I would go Burrows, Emi, Blanco. But I'd be really quick to pull Emi out of the game. I'd be quick to pull all of them out of the game. Now, that does hurt your bullpen and all that. But it is an extra man, which the extra offensive player they brought up was Jake Meyers. In case you were all waiting on the edge of your seat, who's position player number 14? It's Jake. Jake Meyers is back.
We'll
with the Houston
himself.
Astros. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to like play.
I thought it was going to be Jake Meyers. I predicted that earlier. Apparently, it wasn't a prediction. It was a spoiler. And people were like, no, it's going to be Delgado, which made sense. It made sense to get some infield coverage on this team. But the reason that I looked at Jake is because there's really not a backup center fielder on this team. I know Taylor Trammell plays center field. I know he's starting in center field today. But they don't love him defensively. And you mentioned late in the game, like, oh, this is when you're going to bring in a Meyers type. Maybe. But to me, he's your backup defensive center fielder. Which maybe you could have used the infield coverage there. I don't know.
Yeah, but if they need it, they'll send him down. Mm-hmm. They'll make the flip real
Hopefully
quick.
It's Correa in a week.
Yeah.
Which Correa had his doctor's appointment today that could clear him.
Met with the media.
Oh, he did?
He was cleared. Brian McTaggart just tweeted this out 5 minutes ago.
Let's go.
He was cleared by the doctors to go to West Palm Beach this weekend and ramp up activity, including game situations. He's sprinting at 95%, swinging the bat, and fielding grounders.
It was wonderful.
So...
But this is wonderful.
September.
So what's the date that Carlos – well, let's do that in a minute. We'll do that in a minute. We'll do a guess the date on Carlos Correa's return date. Real quick on the Emi thing, there is a theory going around that the Astros don't want to pay Emi his escalators and his contracts. He's got certain milestones where if he hits these numbers, according to Spotrac, not Spotrac. Although I've seen Jeremy Booth dispute this. Jeremy Booth is kind of disputing it that these actually don't exist and they've already agreed to this amount. I don't know who to believe there. I tend to believe Spotrac.
So, like, they already agreed to pay him more?
Yeah, I kind of vaguely saw it, but Booth was disputing that the escalators aren't there and that it's actually just part of his contract. But according to Spotrac, I'm never going to say the same thing twice, he gets $2 million extra if he pitches 80 innings, $2 million extra if he goes 90 innings, and then $2 million extra if he goes 100 innings.
Yeah.
So there's some thought with Emi only going 67 and two-thirds right now that the Astros are avoiding putting him into games to hit those escalators.
If that's the reason, I really hate it.
I love it.
It's a couple million bucks. Like, you're playing a man down for that.
It's the possibility that he hates your organization and goes back to Japan.
Okay, that's a good counter. That's a good counter.
He's like, those stupid Americans, those stupid Texans, I'm going back to the Nippon League. If because you're treating him poorly. I mean, we did this back in April.
We did.
How can we make Emi's life so miserable that he goes back to Japan? Like, here's an idea. Don't let him hit his escalators.
Yeah.
He hates your guts and he doesn't want to be with your organization anymore. Thank you.
I
applaud this. This is cutthroat.
Or he's going to realize he can make $18 million and they're not going to use him. So he can make $18 million to sit on his ass.
He does get it.
So it kind of goes both ways.
Yeah.
I just like, I who knows that this is the reason why.
Now, I don't think it's been realistic spots to use him in games either.
No.
And they actually had him up in a spot where I wouldn't have used him. They had him up with a
4-1 relay.
Yeah, they had him up, but it would have required a hit. It probably would have required at least a 5-run lead to use him in the ninth. That's not a spot I would have used him, and they had him up. So I don't really buy this theory. Now, kind of love it if they're doing it.
Part of it is like what I get the saving the money aspect of it. Like I don't really blame them for that, frankly. Like, I wouldn't want to pay this guy extra money either. The problem is, it just shows you how bad the contract is.
Yeah.
That until today, you're just intentionally pitching a man down.
I don't think that's true.
They've used him three times in the last
month. There haven't been opportunities.
I know, but like
you're not going to use him in tight games. They don't trust him.
How many teams roster a guy in the bullpen that's pitched three times in the last 30 days? Like, I'd imagine.
Probably a few, but like.
Very few.
So that's just the burden they find themselves.
No,
in.
It is. It just, again, I think it just shows how bad this deal has ended up becoming.
Yeah, I don't
because they don't want to use them or because they don't want to pay them.
I don't think it's the latter.
You think it's just because they don't want to use them at all?
I think it's because they don't trust him and they're trying to win games.
Which I respect that decision.
Yeah,
it just sucks that they can't send this guy down and bring up anybody
right.
that can contribute once in a while with a bullpen that's frankly gassed.
They just haven't been in situations where you like they're getting blown out and you can just mop it up with Emi. Like you haven't been in those spots.
Because frankly, I think
they might be in that spot tonight because Blanco's on the mound.
The only way they want to use him is when they're up by at least 6 runs. I think, like to your point about the other night,
yeah,
or down by 4.
Yeah,
in like the 7th or 8th might be the only time. Where it feels like the game is totally out of reach.
Bingo. And they haven't been in those spots.
No.
They haven't been in those spots. So you see that, and then it's like, oh, there's escalators in his contract, and then, oh, they're being cheap, which I wouldn't actually mind. I don't want him to be on this team next year. So if it means to being a little cutthroat, sorry about it. Sorry about it. Like, are you going to be so offended that they're not throwing Tatsuya Emi so he doesn't make $2 million extra more dollars and $18 million next year? You know what I would like? I'd like $18 million to spend on free agents next year.
It would be nice.
I'd like Emi to go back to Japan. Am I a jerk for saying that? Probably. Am I a better baseball team next year for doing that? You're darn right it is.
Yes.
You're darn right it is.
What could you do with $18 million for this baseball team?
You could sign an aging first baseman who sucks.
You could sign a couple bullpen pieces, make your bullpen stronger. You could probably sign 2 outfielders that are at least better than what you have currently.
Yeah. All right, let's do guess the date on Correa's return. Guess the date. If you're right, you get a high five, maybe, and then maybe a T-shirt if you come see us. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5. It's going to be a vibe at TDECU Stadium on Saturday. The hype around campus is unbelievable. Houston Cougars kick off the football season this Saturday, September 5th at 11 a.m. against the Oregon State Beavers. At last, At last, the first game of the year is here. You're going to want to be there. You're going to want to be in the stadium. The new in-game presentations throughout the game are going to be phenomenal. It's going to be like a party there. It's going to be hype. Don't miss the H-Town kickoff, which is sure to provide thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments. It is, of course, kicking off college football on ESPN Saturday as well, so you know it's going to be a party. Third year under Willie Fritz. He, of course, led the Houston Cougars to 10 wins last year, beat LSU at the Texas Bowl. A lot of good players back. Wigman's back. The defense looking good. So you need to be out there to watch your Houston Cougars take on the Oregon State Beavers. You've been waiting for football all summer long. It is here. It is here in the city. So why not be out there at TDECU Stadium Saturday when Houston takes on Oregon State? Buy your tickets right now, uhcougars.com/tickets, or call 713-GO-COUGS. I'll see you there. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
We're back with Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from inside the Huntington Bank Studios
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
All right, guest today, Carlos Correa's return, which is not West Palm Beach, not any FCL. We're talking about when he is in the Houston Astros. That didn't even be in the lineup. When does he make his return to the Houston Astros big league team? It could be a pinch hitter late. It could be a pinch hitter in the eighth for Taylor Trammell. Christian Vasquez, whoever the case may be. What day do we see the triumphant return of Carlos Correa?
I'm going to go September 15th.
Dang it. Why did I let you go first? That's a natural day for him to be back.
Coming off the off day.
It's a very natural day.
Back at home versus the Royals.
Man.
So it's like another minor league start.
Okay. I was going to go September 15th, so now I have to change mine. All right, here's my new alternate theory that I'm going to try to sell you into.
Okay.
So where did they say he's going to go?
West Palm.
He's going to go to West Palm. Where's that? What state is West
Florida.
Palm?
Florida.
West Palm's in Florida.
Yep.
It's over there in Florida. Do you know who the Astros play next weekend? Not this weekend. Next weekend.
Tampa Bay Rays.
How far is the drive from West Palm to Tampa Bay?
Probably not that far.
Like 2.5 hours, maybe?
Sure.
2.5 hours? Here's my theory. He goes to West Palm, he rehabs, things are looking good, and he makes his return on September 13th. Sunday, September 13th, that's the first Houston Texans game as well. Sunday, September 13th, okay. We see the triumphant return of Carlos Correa, then you get the natural off day on Monday, and then he plays again on the 15th. He's not going to play every day. So give me the 13th for Los.
Okay.
I wonder if they're sending that recliner to West Palm for Carlos.
I'm sure Mattress Mac can get it there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Make sure
he
knows.
He does same-day delivery.
Yeah, don't
Maybe not in West Palm. But
don't For Carlos, he might, though.
He might.
Yeah. Plus, he's got time. It doesn't have to be same day. He knows he's going.
Truck dress, right.
Yeah, he's got time.
Get out there tonight.
He can already be on the way.
Today's Hello Kitty night, by the way.
Cool.
Hello Kitty night number two. I see it on the – I pulled up the screen.
Did you buy tickets for Saturday yet?
I mean, I'm not going to go to the game.
You're not going to Bravo night?
No.
Yeah, we never brought that out to the show. It was in the group chat, though.
I would love to go. Yeah, I'd love to
Bravo
go.
Night.
I have a game Friday. I have a game Saturday.
Yeah?
I have a game Saturday. Why would – I mean,
the
I
Astros play at 6:15.
I'm not going to work and labor for 4 hours and then go to the game.
I mean, you're going to see Peter Lambert versus the Diamondbacks?
Be all smelly and dirty.
Meet your Bravo queens?
Nah. I mean, it sounds like a great time. I've seen people rip this. Just don't. Why would you rip it? Just don't pay attention to it.
It is
pretty easy. Pretty easy to avoid.
It's a brand. It's like Jeremy Brand.
It's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful idea. It's a great way to, you know, husband and wife to you know, allure the wife to get out to an Astro game.
Is your wife aware that it's happening?
I asked her. I was like, did you know that the Bravo Queens are coming out on? I didn't know the date. So, did you know they're coming to a game? She's like, I did. I saw that. That's so exciting. So, like,
I'm surprised she's not making you go.
She doesn't care.
Okay.
She doesn't care to watch it. No. Plus, I'm busy that day. I got to work, Joe.
Only during
some
the morning.
Some of us work on weekends.
I work on weekends.
All right. Well, then you should know. You should be able to relate. All right, Joe, Brian, what's your date?
I'm going to go a little bit later than you guys. I'm going to say he returns later that same homestand that starts with the Royals, but I'll go with the Braves series on a Friday. I figure they probably – I think they did this with Pena when they first brought him back this year. JP3, my bad. Where he played, like, listen, I think he kind of, he probably plays Friday, takes a day off Saturday, plays Sunday, and then they have the off day on Monday. So you can get him in a spot where he's only playing every other day for a few games to get him back into shape before they go out to that important two-game series in Seattle.
Okay. All right. How important is that Seattle series going to be?
Well, I mean, how many games back are they now?
Six.
Okay, probably not that important.
And it's going to be important to the Astros.
Well, I guess every game's important for the Astros, yeah.
Every game's important.
We're fighting for the two seats still.
I don't think that you're right on that date. I don't think you're right on that date. Because Pena, it's Jeremy Pena retro Los Astros jersey night. I don't think Correa would do that to him.
Okay, maybe he comes back on Saturday.
I don't think you would spoil it for him. That's Hispanic Heritage Street Fest. That would make sense.
There you go.
As a Hispanic.
It'd be a good day. Saturday
the
19th.
That'd be a good day to cap off Hispanic Heritage Street Fest, actually. Get Correa in the lineup.
It would be a good time.
Be a good time to cap it off.
I should have got my. Should I order one of these EMI bobbleheads?
Go for it.
Just as a put it back here.
You do you, boo. Correa is returning the 21st of September, says a junkie. Another junkie says that.
Then he'll play on the 21st.
So he's wrong. he's not returning on the 21st. You're wrong about that one. And then another junkie, Pete, says Correa returns on 9-8
junkie
against the Phillies. A week from today?
Wow.
In Philly?
That's
that's aggressive. I would love to see it. Love to see it. Also, it's not a guarantee that Carlos Correa doesn't re-aggravate an injury.
I mean, he kind of, so when he was meeting with the media too, he says that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His other quote from McTaggart was, the back end of it is, this will be the real test for us to see if we can come back and play. So he's not guaranteeing he's returning.
If he's going to do game activities, it's pretty close.
Yeah, he said he's got to see how the foot responds. So I think he's just aware that, you know.
He's Carlos Correa?
Yeah. Things can happen.
I can't read that 5375. Junkie, they're actually only 5.5 up junkie on Seattle. Uncle Barney says they're only 5.5 up on Seattle because of the tiebreaker. Theoretically.
Boom shakalaka!
Theoretically, that is true. He is a professor. Eric the Buyer, Branham, are you telling someone to go back to your own country in regards to EMI? Does Joe need to give HRMP a call? I mean, people like home sweet home. That's it.
Yeah, we're just telling them to go home.
That's all. Another junkie says escalate EMI's booty on the next plane back to Japan. Sheesh. It's messed up. All right, but I don't disagree.
I was like, it's not.
I don't disagree.
I think one of the things we said in April was about how to get him to leave was like, let's have him experience some of our tropical weather. Check.
Oh, he's going to get that tonight.
Check.
Edward. How do you like this, Edward? EMI? Do you get this? I mean, they get some bad stuff in Japan.
Yeah, they do.
Need some really bad stuff. I can't say that. All right, Nick Caserio.
I'm so fascinated what was going through your brain.
Caserio. He spoke today. He had a lot of information about the Houston Texans. Let's listen to some of that. Where are they on the latest with C.J. Stroud? When is Tank going to come back? How about that offensive line? So much to talk about. 713-780-ESPN. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5. Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Oh, boy. Two Creeks Crossing Resort is a good time. It's always a good time for whatever you want it to be a good time for. Maybe it's peace and relaxation. Maybe it's exploring the great outdoors. Maybe it's fishing on the two creeks. Maybe it's kayaking on the two creeks. They got pickleball out there too for all you pickleball champions. Maybe you just want to hang out at the water park, Blue Bayou Bend all day and enjoy your time there. Give the kids a place to run around and wear themselves out. The lazy river there too. Get on one of those tubes, sit around all day, soak in the sun rays. It's a great time at Two Creeks Crossing Resort for whatever you're trying to do. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. You can book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com, and I strongly recommend that you do, twocreekscrossingresort.com. 92 acres for you to explore. They got the two creeks for you to kayak, fish on. They got a catch and release pond, too. A great way to teach the kids how to fish. And also, you know what's really cool about it? It's 90 minutes from Houston. You're not wasting all your time traveling somewhere. Whether you're traveling all the way across multiple states, you're going to the airport, having to catch a flight. You're there in 90 minutes, hour and a half, you're there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. You have an RV? That's great. They got RV hookup spots for you. Maybe you want to stay in the treehouse. We stayed in the treehouse when we went. It was awesome. You walk up the steps, you stay in a house that's perched right there in the tree. Maybe you want to stay on the creek. Well, waterfront cabins to do that for you. And also glamping. Everybody loves glamping. So get out there to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. You're going to be happy. The wife, the husband, they're going to be happy. The kids are going to love it. Book your stay right now. Two Creeks Crossing Resort.com. That's Two Creeks Crossing Resort.com.